May it please the court. The Missouri Constitution in Article 3, Section 40 prohibits the General Assembly from passing special legislation that grants to any corporation, association, or individual special or exclusive rights, privileges, or immunities. The issue in this case is revised Missouri Statute 321.322.4, which deals with fire protection districts in cities with populations between 2,500 and 65,000. It specifically deals with post-annexation procedures in which the fire protection district and the city determine how the fire protection services will continue to be rendered and specifically paid for. 321.322.4 is a special law because it meets the three-part multifaceted test pronounced by this court in Jefferson County versus Blunt, and that there is a population classification that includes only one political subdivision. Other political subdivisions are similar in size to the targeted political subdivision, yet
are
not.
The Jefferson County case was very, very narrow. It was a very narrow definition.
Yes, the population spread in that particular case was 1,200. In this case, Judge, it's even narrower in regard to the city population classification, that it's a thousand person population spread. And the third prong in the test, the population range is so narrow that the only apparent reason for the narrow range is to target a particular political subdivision, in this case, DeSoto, Missouri, and to exclude all others from such targeting.
But in Jefferson County, you're talking about 195,000 people and 1,200. DeSoto is a much smaller community than 1,000 people is much larger in comparison to DeSoto than what it was in the Jefferson County case.
That's correct, Judge. But in this case, the county population spread in the statute is much larger. It's between 200,000 and 350,000, which Jefferson County currently does fall within the ambit of that population spread. If all three of the parts of the Jefferson County test are met, then the state has to show a substantial justification for the classification. In this case, and as we'll speak about later on, there is no substantial justification for the classification as it is not natural, reasonable, or rationally related to a legitimate government interest.
The state argues that most of the requirements are ones that other counties either do or could easily fall into. Until you get down to the city population. Is that correct? For instance, you just the county 200 to 350, there are three or four in there now. They may come into it or out of it. Some of those other requirements being a charter city and so forth, a single fire protection district, those are easy to come into and out of, aren't they?
I would disagree in part. I think that population it can grow very slowly. I think we pointed to some of those things in our briefing efforts in regard to how slowly populations do grow. As far as perhaps the formation of a fire protection district, for example, that's a political decision, and that's a term that's been used quite frequently in the briefing. But in regard to political decisions, I think what's important for this court to look at is to see if it is a purely and truly a unilateral political decision that can be made by the particular political subdivision. For example, in this statute, the third class city that is subjected to the statute has absolutely no say whatsoever in the boundaries and how the boundaries are formed in regard to a fire protection district. There's a procedure that's involved with that involves the courts. Votes by the people, so it's not just merely political decisions that would be that should be the determining factor. It should be whether or not it's a unilateral political decision and one that is within.
You're saying it's a political decision not within the control of the appellant here, and so it's not like St. Louis, the St. Louis case.
That is correct. In the St. Louis city case. It's completely different from the scenario here, and I think I've called it a hybrid special law situation. In Jefferson County, we had classifications that were based purely on, well, one of the classifications was the county classification, but the main thrust of that decision was looking at the population classification. That's where this three-pronged multifaceted test sprung from.
But the population for the county, there are two other counties that currently fall within this range. Clay and Green fall within this range, and St. Charles is about 11,000 over the range. So it's not targeted to just one county based upon that range, true?
That's true. It's not targeted towards a county. It's targeted more so towards a particular city.
So you're saying even if the other five characteristics or requirements or four, whatever they are, are not unduly special, that final requirement as to the city size is, because it only allows a 1,000 population range.
That's correct, Judge. And I think that that's the city population and really the city characteristics are the crux here, because this statutory scheme deals with the interrelation between cities and fire protection districts. The county characteristics were just used merely, of course, in my opinion, to draw the court's attention down towards Jefferson County in order to then get to the city of DeSoto, which is a third-class city that operates its own fire department, has a population between 6,000 and 7,000. So that was the main thrust and the purpose there as to why the statute was drafted that way. And the situation is different. I kind of want to get back to the city of St. Louis case. The city of St. Louis case, it was different because those were purely political decisions. In that case, as you may recall, dealt with the city of St. Louis's residency requirements and also the unaccreditation of its schools. In that case, this court held that there were decisions that could have been made by those within the control of City of St. Louis, namely the school district and also the fire department, that could take the City of St. Louis outside of the ambit of the statute. In this situation, it's different because we have some political decisions that could be made, such as forming a charter government, the boundaries of a fire protection district, but those are not political decisions that a third-class city take part in. They have no say in regard to the boundaries of a fire protection district. They have no say in regard to the formation of a charter government in a county. So that's the difference here. So that's why we implore the court to look at, you know, not just political decisions or whether or not others may one day fall within the ambit of the statute or not fall within the ambit of the statute, but whether we also would ask the court to look at the specific language of the multifaceted test in Jefferson County. The tense of the verbs there are the present. Or does it include right now just one political subdivision? Does it exclude right now others that are similarly situated? Does it look at this point right now to be apparent that the intent that it only target one political subdivision? And the respondents will implore this court to take what we have called a wait and see approach in regard to the how to analyze this statute. We don't think that that's a good policy for this state whatsoever, to just allow for an unconstitutional statute to sit there and wait to see if others may one day hopefully fall within the ambit of a statute, we don't think that would be a good policy whatsoever. And really, it goes against what this court has already held in Jefferson County and also in its decision in the city of St. Louis.
Now, the trial court's judgment said that plaintiffs did not show that other cities of the many with populations in or near the 6,000 to 7,000 range could not qualify under the statute, merely that they do not qualify today. And Jefferson County talked about, you know, could practically qualify. Would you discuss that standard?
Right, and I think you point out some very good language in that case that practically fall within, you know, just stepping outside maybe the intellectual bubble for a little bit and just looking at what practically could happen. You know, in reality, I pointed to the city of Crystal City and how that is also a third-class city that's located in Jefferson County. It will take 45 years at its current population growth for that city to even fall within the city population characteristic classification. So as a practical matter, the statute is drawn so narrowly that it really isn't reality, and of course we've argued that's a closed-ended classification that this court is actually looking at. And in regard to the trial court's order, it really was just a misstatement of the law, in our opinion. Because of the particular scenario that we're in, it's a hybrid special law situation. It's not one that deals just with population, but it deals with population and also other open-ended non-population characteristics, such as the formation of a fire protection district. So just to take a statement out of the City of St. Louis case, which had no population characteristics whatsoever in it, and place that into the trial court's order was a misstatement of this court's holdings and this court's law in regard to special legislation.
Because Mr. Layton argues that the St. Louis case really modified the Jefferson County case, and you have to add the words may now be the only one, and may others, you have to prove if others may, who are similar in size, may at some point fall into it, then you're not in violation. And you would disagree with that interpretation of St. Louis City?
I think that the St. Louis City case did do was, because that case did deal with non-population characteristics and really political decisions, I think that that was the correct interpretation for that particular case because it didn't deal with population characteristics. Because others may fall within it if they make certain political decisions that are within their control. The city of St. Louis in that case was free to not fall within the ambit of the statute if it got rid of its residency requirement, and if its school district became accredited once again, it would no longer fall within the ambit of the statute. The difference here is that the city of DeSoto cannot take itself outside of the ambit of the statute because it does not control those non-population, certainly doesn't control its population, but also does not control those characteristics. And other, and you can also think about other political subdivisions that may want to fall within the ambit of the statute. They can't force their county to become a charter government. They can't ask that or make a fire protection district completely surround them as 321.322.4 calls for. So that's really a distinguishing characteristic in that particular decision. There's no substantial justification either for this classification. The court must ask the respondents, you know, what is so special about the city of DeSoto that requires it to be treated differently than any other political subdivision or any other third class city in this situation? There is no substantial justification for that because this statute will treat the all cities the same during the post-annexation procedure, and that they will have to pay for the services rendered by the fire protection district.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. So before Jefferson County Fire Protection District, we had what seemed like a pretty bright line. We had open-ended and we had closed-ended. If a population criteria was open-ended, the court said that that was not a special law. If it was, if something was based on historical facts, geography, or constitutional status, things that local governments and the passage of time and the legislature can't change, then we said it was closed-ended. In Jefferson County Fire Protection District, the court changed that test slightly and said, okay, here we have an instance that appears to be open-ended, but it's really not. And, you know, despite the fact that one of my colleagues stood before you and said that it was, the logic is that that it was not. It was a 1,200-person range. It was and of course, in Missouri, you have to hit that range on April 1st of the census year. And so the premise that some county in Missouri would fall within that 1,200-person range on April 1st of 2010 or 2020 or 2030 or 2040 was beyond remote. And so it makes some sense that the court then said, look, there are some things that on their face look like they're open-ended, but they're not. Well, if we just deal with population here, this case is, I think, pretty easy. In terms of the approach the court took in Jefferson County Fire Protection District. And one way to consider that is that there the court said that the population range represents only 0.6% of the upper population limit. Well, for the county here, that wouldn't be 0.6, it would be 42%. And for the city, it would be 14%. The city and the county ranges here are very, very different from what you had in Jefferson County Fire Protection District. What this case is really about in terms of the movement of the law with regard to special laws is how do we handle these political questions, these things that aren't population. There are other things that the legislature looks
but,
at.
But going back to population, yes. And the county certainly is a broad range, 200 to 350,
yes.
Much broader. But 1,000 is very similar to 1,200. So you're saying you have to look at it in comparison to what, a city? I mean, some cities are as big as some counties, so the fact that you're a city
right.
does not decide it.
No,
what,
I think that what you're looking at is how likely is it that cities will fall within that range? And there are dozens
of
cities.
Well, if only one city is actually meets all these requirements now, it's not very likely.
I'm just talking about population. So now we move to the other criteria.
So how many cities do we have in the record were between that 6,000 and 7,000? Was that
Two or three dozen, a couple of dozen. Okay. But there are many more that are near that. There are unincorporated areas that have that many people that if they incorporated would be that in that range.
Do we look at each of these singly, or do we look at the combination of them to decide whether or not it's really a closed or open-ended classification?
Well, that actually is a question the court has not answered, that I think we posed in our brief, is do you look at them one at a time, or do you look at them collectively? And if you look at them one at a time here, you have a series of things that either on the population side are really the kind of open-ended thing the court has always allowed. And you have on the political side things the court has always allowed. So really the only way that you rule for the appellant here for DeSoto is by putting them all together. And that would be the first time the court has actually done that.
And why shouldn't we do that when the way the statute's written is and, it's not an or.
Well, the statute is written that way, and it does make some sense to do it that way, to see here where this applies or would apply. But when you do that, then you have to think of what point of view you're going to take as you look at that combination of factors. And what DeSoto wants you to do is to look just at today. So they want you to say, okay, it doesn't matter. Even if every legislator looked at their district and said, I'm going to have that same problem tomorrow, and so I'm going to write this so that I don't have that problem tomorrow, in their view, that doesn't matter. All that matters is where it applies today. Well, that's inconsistent with what this court has said consistently. For example, in Jefferson County Fire Protection District, it talks about places that could not fall, not that do not fall within that criteria. Whether other places may fall into the classification. I mean, the court always has used that, and we expect legislators to do that. We expect them to project into the future and not be bound by something that just because it happens today. I mean, what if we had a situation...
So can you protect any kind of review by having a dozen characteristics, but where they clearly are going to exclude everything but one jurisdiction?
Well, as to this point, it's just, I don't think you look at whether it excludes everything else today. I think you look at the question as to how likely it is or possible it is that it would exclude others tomorrow as well.
And so tell me how we know this wouldn't exclude, is not likely to exclude others tomorrow as a practical matter, not as a remote possibility.
Because every item here is something that can be changed.
But what about all the items?
How likely
is it that all those are going to change?
Well, it may not be particularly likely, but I don't know. I mean, it's not my burden, it's theirs to show that.
You can preclude review by just including a lot of factors. So you can say, gosh, I can't know if they'll all occur.
No, I think that it's possible to come in and prove that there are no other places that in the foreseeable future could qualify. The plaintiffs didn't do that here, but I think that it is possible to do that. And that's what you'd have to be able to say that members of the General Assembly couldn't have had in their minds something beyond this one place.
So what could they have done here that they didn't do?
How
are they going to prove what a different political subdivision would or would not vote?
They would have had to have come in and presented evidence as to fire protection district boundaries across the state, not just in Jefferson County. They would have had to come in and presented evidence about population on the fringes of cities that could move into this range throughout the state, that kind of thing. And they made no attempt to do that because they were fixed on today, not on after the next census, but today. So the other point where I think you have to think about how it is you look at the facets that are in Jefferson County Fire Protection District or this package that we're talking about this morning is from whose point of view? And the point of view that DeSoto wants you to take is the point of view of the city that is purportedly being disadvantaged by this particular provision. Now, I'm not sure here that DeSoto actually qualifies for that. Frankly, it didn't dawn on me until the last 2 days that what you have here is an exception to the general rule, and they're trying to invalidate the exception to the exception, but I don't think the exception applies to DeSoto. So I don't really, even if you rule their favor, I don't think DeSoto gets anything out of this package. But assume for the moment that they do. The question becomes, are you going to look at this just from the point of view of the city of DeSoto and say if the city of DeSoto couldn't do something to get itself into or out of this provision, here it's they want to be out of it, and others I'm sure they want to be in it, then that's enough. Or do you look at the package more broadly than that? And legislators look more broadly than that. The legislator who is representing Jefferson County isn't concerned just about the constituents who live in the fire protection district or just the ones who live in DeSoto. That legislator is thinking about the whole package. The questions here that are political, his constituents or her constituents are going to vote on whether to retain the charter in Jefferson County. They're going to vote on whether to split the fire district or dissolve the fire district. So from the legislator's point of view, it isn't just this myopic, let's look at what the people of the city of DeSoto can do. It's broader than that.
The third factor in Jefferson County was the reason for distinguishing. Was there any logical reason to distinguish that particular county,
you know,
in that case or city?
You know, frankly, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those cases where no one from the Fire Protection District has appeared in this case. No one from the Fire Protection District Association has appeared in this case. And so, frankly, I don't know the answer to that. And as I've spent some time trying to figure out what that might be, we've hypothesized that it may be that when you have a fire protection district that completely surrounds a city, and that city starts to eat at all of the area near the city, which is the part that has the highest tax base, that city through annexation may be able to just kill the fire protection district because it can no longer economically serve the people in the rural areas. But frankly, it's hard for me to know because here, as I say, the exception says that it applies to cities with fire departments where the city is not wholly within the fire protection district. And here we have an exception to that exception that only applies to cities that are entirely surrounded by a fire protection district. It sounds to me like the city of DeSoto doesn't fit within the exception, and so I'm really not at all sure why someone would come in and make an exception to the exception when the exception applies only to places that are entirely surrounded by fire protection districts, the accepted exception, and the exception itself wouldn't apply to them at all. I don't understand, and so I apologize. We don't have a basis for that, other than my hypothesis.
Whose burden is it to show us that basis under Jefferson County?
If you find that it is a special law, then it would be the state's burden. But until you find it's a special law, then that actually doesn't come up.
Well, if it's a local law, not a special law, why would we even get to the question of whether a general law could be made applicable, which is where that justification
yes.
language comes from, if this is regulating the affairs of a city? Why would we even get to that if 21 would apply, which prohibits special laws that regulate affairs of cities?
That isn't a question that has been raised here, and I'm not sure that this would fit easily into that realm, because what we're talking about here is something that regulates fire protection districts and their ability to continue serving an area after a city annexes it. So I don't know that it exclusively falls within that provision. I just don't know that it exclusively falls there. I'm sorry, I haven't thought about that, so I don't have a better answer for that question. The General Assembly, under our separation of powers, has to be given two things. One of those is deference, where deference is possible. And here, we believe the deference is possible. And the second is guidance. The Jefferson County Fire Protection District gave the General Assembly some guidance that it needed with regard to population. And it gave a faceted test that is somewhat helpful, but the General Assembly does need additional guidance as to how to handle these political decisions that also factor into these kinds of laws. We may suppose that the General Assembly always uses them because it wants to target a particular city or a particular county. I don't believe that's true. These are characteristics that are common as for a legislator to think about when the legislator is thinking, in what scenario will there be the problems that I'm thinking about? And actually, this being surrounded by a fire protection district is one of those, where that's something that a legislator could well look at and say, okay, the fire protection districts that are most threatened by annexation are the ones that have a city that is in the middle of the fire protection district, or close to it, it is here, and they're completely surrounded, and the city is able to take all of the area that supplies their principal tax base.
But that's fully within the province of the legislature. They can have hearings.
Yes.
They can have people present testimony. They can have different counties and cities. And,
yes.
And all that come before them. Where, as you indicated before, if an issue is not presented before us, we can't necessarily address it. That's for the legislature to do in their infinite wisdom.
And that's part of why we defer to them to the extent that the Constitution permits us to do so. Thank you.
Respondents implore this court to give deference to the court as one of the guiding points of this court. But this court should not give the General Assembly a blank check to write special legislation. In addition, the respondents state that or hypothecate about certain things that the legislator may be thinking about in regard to drafting legislation. But does a legislator think about a charter form of government for the county when deciding whether or not or how to put into place statutes in regard to fire protection districts? What does a charter form of government have to do with fire protection districts and how they interact with counties? The answer to that question is it does not. So that factor alone shows an intent to discriminate against the city of DeSoto and to have legislation that applies to only one city. This court should look at the policy that could be pronounced if it decides in favor of the respondents. The respondents want a wait-and-see approach for our Constitution. They want to completely, in essence, give the state and the General Assembly the ability to write special legislation, and then hopefully one day another political subdivision will fall within the ambit of that statute.
Do you agree or disagree that it's your burden to prove that no others are likely to fall within?
I disagree that would be that is not my burden at this time, because the case law does not hold to that extent that it's my burden to show that others could one day fall within it within the near future. I think that's what the respondents want the law of this state to be, but I don't think that's the current.
Well, what is the law under Jefferson County? You're saying it's a practical matter. Can you phrase it? Because it's not, because Jefferson County does impose some obligation of showing that as a practical matter, others are not likely to fall within or out, and that's why it's not open-ended.
Right, Judge, I think that we do, in regard to that particular provision of the law, particular statement in that case, we have to there is a provision in that case that says, as a practical matter, others could not fall within. And I think that we have shown that.
So is that your burden to show?
I believe that would be.
And how is that different than the burden Judge Breckenridge asked you about?
It really isn't, Judge. So in reality, it would be our burden to show that, I guess, as a practical matter. And that's what we cited, for example, that some of the cities that are close to, or that specifically Crystal City, it's a city that's in the same county as DeSoto, because that's the county that this statute's pointing to. But just showing as a practical matter, that's just not going to happen for example, Crystal City abuts the Mississippi River. There's not.
What about St. Charles or Clay County or some of the other counties that were referred to as fitting within the population number?
Sure. In regard to, if I can finish, that's all right. In regard to, I'll pick Clay County, for example. That's where North Kansas City is at. And they likewise, that's a third class city. But its population is grossly below that of DeSoto. So I think that was a city that would take 20 years at its current population growth to reach the level of DeSoto. So as a practical matter, in reality, they're not going to qualify under this provision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case will be submitted.